So from today's reading from Galatians, Paul writes, "For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything." In the name of one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. You have a little room up here. You'd like some seats right up here. So there's a question behind today's reading from Galatians that I think Paul is very eager to answer. And that question is, what does it mean for you and I to be committed to our spiritual growth, or to be committed to being a bearer of God's peace? Because that's really the issue behind today's reading from Galatians. In fact, I want you to consider how Paul begins this letter. "I'm astonished," he writes in chapter 1, "that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Jesus Christ and are turning to a different gospel." In other words, as Paul writes this letter, he's a little upset because for him, what's at stake is the nature of the Christian gospel and what it means for you and I to root our lives in that gospel. And whereas one group in Galatia is teaching that you and I are justified before God by performing the works of the law, which today Paul just calls sowing to the flesh, Paul writes this letter to the church at Galatia to remind them that God has done this completely new thing in Jesus Christ, that we're justified before God by faith and not by anything we produce, and that God, as an act of sheer grace, has already acted to make us a new creation. And I don't know about you, but this is a message I need to hear just about every single day of my life. And the reason I say that is because in my experience, most of us, whenever we get serious about our faith and we decide it's time to make a change and to become more spiritually mature, we really only have one strategy, and that's we tend to roll up our sleeves and try really, really hard to improve ourselves. But in the long run, using willpower to improve ourselves is a pretty poor strategy. Because as I see it, we're either going to fail and feel shame, or far worse, we'll convince ourselves we've succeeded and we'll feel spiritual pride. But either way, we've spiritually regressed, right? Because whether we're celebrating our spiritual success or lamenting what spiritual failures we imagine ourselves to be, in both cases, the focus is on us and not on this gracious God who has saved us and who wants to teach us to go out into this world as bearers of God's peace. Because if we listen carefully to what Paul says in today's reading, he doesn't say that we need to get our act together and to become a new creation. What he says is that God has already decisively acted to make us a new creation as a sheer gift through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so spiritual growth, Paul says, is not something we need to do. And again, I think you and I need to hear that because we live in a world that places a premium on being productive people. And it'd be really easy to think that God also needs us to be productive people, to produce some more refined character or to produce some more just society through our own effort. But of course, this is not how we become bearers of God's peace, by working harder to produce it. In fact, in today's reading, when Paul talks about the people who sow to the flesh or who want to make a good showing in the flesh, he's referring to people who still think that they have to produce in their spiritual life, that they have to do something different or be someone different in order for God to love them. And of course, I think we all know that tendency in our own heart if we look closely enough. I mean, who among us wants to be perceived as an unproductive person? But here's the irony of this gospel that Paul proclaims today. Before God can use us to make a true love-spreading difference, to make a peace-spreading difference, I think God asks us to accept the very thing that so many of us often struggle to accept, which is that when it comes to God, we don't have to produce. That all the significant work that needs to be accomplished has already been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Brené Manning is one of my favorite authors, and he tells a true story in one of his books about a peasant who is in Ireland, and there's this priest who stumbles upon the peasant, and he's praying by the side of the road. And so the priest looks at the peasant, who's very deep in prayer, and says, "I can see that you're a man of prayer. You must be very close to God." And this is how that peasant responded. He said, "I am close to God because God is so very fond of me. God is so very fond of me." And my question this morning is, how sweet would our life be? How many of our problems would disappear if we just believed what that peasant did, that God is so very fond of us? Not that we're forgiven or accepted or tolerated, but that we are actually the apple of God's eye. I sure hope you've heard that before, that God is so very fond of you. That's what Paul wants the Galatians to know. It's the reason he took so much time to write this letter, to remind them that God is fond of them, irrespective of what they produce. And in today's gospel, Jesus reminds us of the importance of knowing this because he says that we have a mission. And that mission is about entering people's homes, entering people's lives to bring peace. This, Jesus says, is the work of the missionary to bring peace. And of course, this peace that surpasses anything that you and I can understand is the fruit not of doing something, but of knowing what Jesus says at the end of today's gospel, that our names are all written in heaven. The point being that you are known, that you're loved, that you're safe, you're cherished, you are taken care of. There's nothing to boast in except who God is and what God has done. May I never boast in anything, Paul says today, except in the cross of Jesus Christ. And of course, doesn't being here, just worshiping in this space, if we're honest, remind us of that? That the God who made these mountains, the God who created the elk and the waterfalls and the beauty that surrounds us on every side, the same God who, by the way, created the beautiful thing that is your life, doesn't being here in creation just scream the truth that the same God who began all this will bring it to completion in God's own time and God's own way? I love how Anne Lamott puts it when she wrote about her spiritual life. She said, "I figured out that I didn't have to understand the hypostatic unity of the Trinity. I just needed to turn my life over to whoever it is that created the redwood trees." So the God who came up with the redwood trees, this God also came up with you. The God who came up with Grand Teton National Park, he also came up with you. And the peace of God, which surpasses anything that we can understand, comes from knowing that this same God has made us and is making us into a new creation, irrespective of what we do or do not produce in this life. Meaning that our work, if we can even call it that, is to believe, to say thank you, and to take in the peace of being unconditionally loved so that we can share that peace with the world. Amen. Amen.